This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
As a reporter, I have a confession to make. I should have pushed harder earlier for more information about Joe Biden's mental and physical well-being and any signs of decline.
Yeah, you think? That was Chris Saliza. He used to work for CNN and went to social media yesterday. But it took a report, an investigative report by the Wall Street Journal, to finally get him to admit that, oh, I don't know, maybe like 4 years ago, he should have started asking a few more questions about Joe Biden's mental faculties. And he just didn't do that. He admitted that. It's one of the big stories that broke yesterday. Even with all this government's funding thing going on in the background, a lot of people are talking about this. We've got Madeline Rivera's live for Fox News this morning talking about it as well near the White House. Madeline, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Mike. Good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you for giving me a few minutes this morning. We appreciate that. We really do. So what has the White House response been, if anything, to this report by the Washington, who put it out? The
Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal, yeah. Well, you've got White House spokesman Andrew Bates, who's really pushing back on all the characterizations that the Wall Street Journal made of the president in this article. And sorry about that. You can hear sirens because I'm outside right now, outside of the White House. But you've got Andrew Bates pushing back on all of these descriptions of the president. He said that the president remains engaged, has been engaged throughout his entire time in office. He says that he had regular meetings with his cabinet secretaries, daily meetings with members of his cabinet. That is not what the Wall Street Journal reported in their article. They're saying that the president, even in his early time in office, as early as a few months into his presidency, it began to become clear that his age was wearing down on him. He would have good days and bad days, and in some cases, meetings would be scrapped altogether if he had an off day. The Wall Street Journal also reporting that the president met very infrequently with members of his cabinet. So, you know, That is all pretty damning for the president, and the White House is very much aggressively pushing back on this. And it's a hard sell when we've seen how the president has acted really over the last course of the 6 months.
I mean, where do you think this goes from here? Because aside from us just being angry that it's officially come out that, yes, they knew from pretty much day one that he was not up to the job, I mean, what happens from here?
Well, the president is leaving the office in a largely diminished role, right? And I think we kind of see that now with, especially in light of the government shutdown, with President-elect Trump dictating what House Republicans should do. It seems that President-elect Trump has really become the focal point of the conversation nowadays. So when it comes to what the president will face, political consequences, not much really. Again, he's not going to have a second term. He will largely retreat to private life. He maintains that he's going to stay involved. To what extent, we just don't know, guys.
Yeah, you know, Madeline, I've wondered about this. If you go back to like the Watergate investigation, the big question coming out of that was, what did they know and when did they know it? And it almost strikes me that somebody's got to ask that question, because it's important. It should be important to the American people to know at what point in the past 4 years did Joe Biden reach the point where he couldn't hold meetings with his defense secretary anymore? I mean, this is the leader of the free world, and we still don't have a clear answer to that, do we?
No, and I think we'll see a lot of that hashed out in the books that will be coming out after his presidency. There's been such a drip, drip, drip of information over the last 6 months, ever since his debate in Atlanta at the end of June. So, you know, there's a lot that still needs to be seen. But also, you know, I've been covering President Biden, even as an embed, back in 2020, 2019, and he's always had a pretty tight-knit group of people around him. They like to keep him away a lot of times. There's pretty much a very much controlled environment around him, I should say. And it's maintained that way all up until the end of his presidency. Boy, we see that.
That is absolutely the truth. Well, Madeline Rivera, we appreciate your time. We'll be watching for your reports from the White House this morning. Thank you.
You got it, of course.
All right, thank you. Yeah, good to get her on here. Of course, the White House is going to say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
But I mean, shouldn't somebody help? I don't know what this would look like, but shouldn't somebody be held accountable for the cover-up? Because at some point, that becomes a national security threat. I don't know what that would look like, and that was kind of what I was getting at with Madeline, was where do we go from here? We know that Biden's on the way out. I don't even care about that, per se, as long as we can safely get to the end of his term. What I care about is, what happens to all the people who knowingly lied to the American public time and again, including Kamala Harris, saying he's fine, he's fine, he's fine, he's up to the job, nothing to see here. And we know that was just a blatant lie.
The damage is reputational, right, to the U.S. But I don't know how you make that a legal question. I don't know. I mean, I think we need to identify the people that allowed it to happen. The one at the top of that list is Dr. Jill Biden.
Mm-hmm.
She lives with the guy every day. She knew darn good and well what was going on with him.
And Kamala.
And Kamala and his chief of staff and his entire cabinet. All of these people that knew, they were effectively, each cabinet member was effectively the president in charge of their particular department, because the president was not engaged. And it's pretty obvious Kamala Harris might have been able to step up and fill that void, but she's an empty vessel herself. So there was nobody up there able to make hard decisions. And Joe Biden likes to brag about the fact that he made the final call on Afghanistan. Well, isn't it now pretty obvious? That was a horrible call. And it went against, if you listen to it, the advice of his top generals. So he was still making some decisions, which is even more frightening. The people you need to be pissed off at are the people at the top of the Democratic Party, because they were so desperate to hold on to the power of that office. Jill Biden, the head of the Democratic Party, Chuck Schumer, they all knew. All of them knew it. Nancy Pelosi knew it. Hakeem Jeffries knew it. They all knew it. But they would not. They were more worried about their power than they were about the fact that this guy had no business being president of the United States.
But how quickly they'll turn on him. I mean, think about how key of a role Nancy Pelosi played in Biden eventually stepping down after that disaster of a debate with Trump. So she was probably the main one spearheading efforts to, you know, cover up, tell everyone he's fine and reassure them. And then as soon as you had some of these celebrity, well, we saw the debate, but then remember Clooney. It was George Clooney who initially came out and said he supported him. And then once more, that's usually how it worked, right? You have to have one brave person who's willing to speak out and get a lot of pushback. And then it's kind of like the Diddy thing. And then once one person comes out, then you're like, oh, you know what? Actually, on second thought, George Clooney says, you know, I did notice there were some things that just weren't quite right when I saw him there, but that was not his story initially.
Maybe that
he changed
was
it.
Maybe holding that early debate was an exit strategy for some of those people, because they're like, if we finally let him get out in public, everybody will see it, and there will be pressure to remove him, and then we can just slide Kamala in there and hope she gets it done. I'm sorry, Kamala.
I have thought that too. But it doesn't seem like there was a good plan in place.
No.
You'd think if that was their plan months prior, that they would have had, you know, all right, we're ready to go.
Something.
This is plan B. Yeah. We're going to put this into action. But they were scrambling. And then the best they could come up with, because people would have been mad if they didn't have Kamala as the pick, that it just seemed like they were like, well, I guess we kind of have to put Kamala in his place.
It's the truth. Jeff is calling in on line one. Jeff, what's your thought on this?
Well, I know that Christopher Wray, under oath, I think, is in a some sort of a committee hearing, stated that he didn't recognize that Joe Biden was mentally declined.
Yeah, but what do you do with that?
Yeah, and this came after the Ben Hur proclamation that he wasn't fit to go be under trial.
So in other words, somebody under oath said it, and there may be criminal repercussions because of that. Is that what you're saying? If somebody said it under
there
oath?
There ought to be. If it was so obvious to all these people now, you know, on the back end that, you know, the guy couldn't do the job, he wasn't meeting with anybody, you know, he was just a figure. And Christopher Wray, there's no way that he can, you know, honestly claim he didn't recognize what was going on.
I would agree with that completely. But Jeff, I appreciate the phone call. They're all good questions. I don't know where the criminal charges would stem from unless it was something like that. Maybe that's part of where it is. We'll see if they go down that alley or not. I don't know. Coming up, we're going to talk about, you know, we talked a little bit about with our business folks the other day, the mortgage rates. What happens? What impacts it have on the housing market, for example? We're going to check in with Jennifer Yu coming up here in just a couple of minutes. She is the founder of a real estate company. She's been watching this situation nationwide, and I want to get her thoughts on it when we come back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context switching that can distract employees and costs your company. Luckily, Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to crank out clear, on-brand emails, documents, messages, and more. In just one click, they can go from blank page to first draft, all without leaving the page they're on. Grammarly has 15 years of experience building effective, secure AI that can be implemented in days with minimal IT overhead. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences, whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise-ready AI.